Good evening, everyone. And Merry Christmas Eve. If you haven't had the chance to meet, my name's Danny. I serve as one of the pastors here at Mosaic at WDW. And if this is your first time hanging out with us, whether you are here and you're on vacation and you were just looking for a Christmas service, I'm glad you're here. If you are a friend or a family member who's in town, I'm glad you're here. If you're a regular, I'm glad you're here. If you're looking for a new church home, I'm glad you're here. Wherever your story's at, whatever brings you into the space, wherever your emotional self is here tonight, if you find yourself excited and overjoyed, if you find yourself weary and longing, I'm glad you're here. Tonight we begin the celebration of arrival, the anticipation of the season. As the countdown on your potential advent calendar, whether it be one of beauty products or of Lego figurines, arrives at zero. Now, if this is your first time with us, welcome. During this season, as Lauren mentioned before, we've been digging into the stories and lyrics of beloved Christmas songs, uncovering the rich beauty and depth that has been hiding in plain sight in these songs. If this is your first time joining us, feel free to check out the podcast from either of our campuses over the last few weeks. We've been journeying through this, and the songs that we just sang were all ones that we walked through. And it was really meaningful to me, and I know for many of us, to be able to meditate on some of those lyrics and the beautiful truths that they're pointing to. Now, tonight's song is no exception. Tonight's song is Joy to the World. This song is sung everywhere, from the American Pavilion over at Epcot, and it's been covered by just about every recording artist, from Nat King Cole, my favorite, to Mariah Carey, other people's favorites. This song, it's compelling, not just because of its beautiful melody, but because even the title proclaims something that I truly believe that all humans, if you peel away the layers of desires, you would find that craving, that we would live in a world that can finally rejoice, that there would be a cause for joy for all of the world. Isn't that what we all seek, especially during the Christmas season? That in a time of the year where, at least in the Northern Hemisphere, each day is shorter than the one before, where darkness appears to be winning out each and every evening, that there would be lights to look forward to. Lights decorating trees, homes, apartments, favorite theme parks. And for us tonight, that was close, wasn't it? A candle. We often say around here that we all long for life and light and freedom. We crave endless, unceasing, ever-deepening joy. But here's the reality. We learn in this weary world, at a certain point, it's time to settle. We settle for less because that high bar, because our experience has shown us that that high bar is not quick to be coming. It's shown us that grief and brokenness and decay and depression and anxiety and betrayal and darkness are ever present here and now. And so we learn instinctively that we should lower expectations and our hopes. We set our gaze on pursuits like careers or hobbies, being busy rather than being present and numbing with distractions. Now, for sure, not all those things are bad things in and of themselves, right? But so easily, we default to the life of working out our own little temporary kingdoms of personal happiness, where we try to control the outcomes. I feel it in my heart when my heart jumps from one of my next things to the next thing, to the next thing. So here's my question for you and what bring where you find yourself as you come into this space tonight. How do you find yourself settling for your own little kingdom? See, here's the news of joy to the world. It's the truth of the good news of the gospel that is proclaimed in the scriptures. That the longing of every fairy tale is true. Not because the world escaped pain, but because God stepped into a world filled with pain. Your childhood instincts where you longed to see the hero win, they were on the right track. See, you were made, according to the scriptures, not for a personal kingdom of happiness, but an eternal, cosmic, global kingdom of deep and abiding joy. And so that is what Joy to the World points to, this beautiful song. It was originally written by a hymn writer and pastor named Isaac Watts sometime in the 1700s. Isaac Watts grew up in a world where the music in the worship services that he attended typically contained psalms or sections of scripture that had been put to music. Now, there's so much richness and beauty there, but for many, just repeating the same words over and over and over had produced a malaise, like a glazed over look where people like sang all the words because they were in the hymnals that they had in front of them, but they weren't really like dwelling on why it mattered. They weren't engaged, and that bothered him. And so he'd like complained to his dad about it, and he was like, why? It's just like, It shouldn't be like that. Like when people are getting to worship through music, it should impact their hearts and their minds. And his dad responded to his concerns. This is my paraphrase. Don't talk about it, be about it. And so he told his son, if you don't like how the people are responding to worship to God, write something different. And so he started doing that. And so he began writing an archive of new hymns that were meant to make much of Jesus in the midst of the hearts and the minds of communities of faith around the world he lived in. Many even endure today. If you know the songs like When I Survey the Wondrous Cross, that's also that dude. And so Watts had a deep passion for helping people connect their joy to the joy of relationship with God. Now, this song, Joy to the World, a big word in that is joy. And so we can use the word joy or enjoy in a number of ways. I enjoyed a tamale earlier with some of our volunteers. It was great. I enjoy watching Bluey. You know what I'm saying? So what exactly is joy? And what makes it any different than happiness? I like how neuroscientist Dr. James Wilder explains joy. He explains, from the human brain perspective, joy is more of a dynamic relational experience. He says, joy is a glad to be together state amplified between two minds that are glad to be together at that moment. To simplify, he says, joy is inherently relational. Now, that's from a neurological standpoint. What does the scripture say about joy? It's a modern way of actually articulating exactly what the scriptures have been articulating all along. Biblically, joy is often the fruit of an experience of the presence of God with his people. It is, as Jesus, one of his beautiful names that are attributed to him is Emmanuel, right? Which means God with us. Now, hundreds of years before Jesus would arrive on the scene, the prophet Zephaniah, he recorded about God and his posture of joy to his people in the midst of a dark season in the life of Israel. Here's what he says. The Lord your God is in your midst. Now, again, this is a season where God does not feel close to the people. The people are not obeying God. The people are not doing things his way. And what he said, is the Lord your God is in your midst, a mighty one who will save. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will quiet you by his love. He will exult over you with loud singing. The image that comes to my mind is if you have the stereo, right, with the little dial. And it's like God is saying, it's time to turn down your internal noise so I can turn up and exult over you with my loud singing. Tell me, how many of you are like, I love the voice in my brain over ever hearing the sound of God singing joy over me, right? Like that, we'd probably say like, no, please turn down my volume. I don't know where, I think I lost remote control, right? Let me ask you to do something with me really quick. Close your eyes for a moment. I want you to envision Jesus present before you right now. If Jesus were in front of you right now, what is his look on his face as he looks to you? Maybe you're afraid to even picture that. Some of us might picture disapproval. Others picture distance. But the scriptures consistently paint a portrait of a God who desires to enjoy relationship with his people. His desire is to reinstate relational joy with you and with me. That as your eyes are closed, that what you would see is a God who sees, shines upon you. That you would know his love. That you would feel that relational, joy-filled connection with him. And that you would see yourself a part of a symphony of joy with all of creation. Go ahead and open your eyes. The same God who, according to the scriptures, rejoices over you with singing is the same God who would arrive in the frame of a human child nearly 2,000 years ago. This is what Watts found so compelling and so easy to miss for many who follow after Jesus. For many of us, especially in the West, our faith has functioned primarily as an intellectual exercise or a cause for obedience. But it doesn't ignite the passions of the human heart and mind. And when you realize, though, that God is glad to be with you, worship can stop being about being performative, and it can become a response. And so when Isaac Watts, when he opened his Bible in front of him, he turned it to Psalm 98, and he found a different picture than the one that he had understood. This psalm says, "Oh, sing to the Lord a new song, for he has done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm have worked salvation for him. The Lord has made known his salvation. He has revealed his righteousness in the sight of the nations." Okay, here's what's so cool about this. The psalmist, what he is doing in this passage is an invitation to respond as a collective community with united joy to the salvation of God. Now, that word salvation is quick to, if you've been around the church or Christians very much at all, like that word immediately brings up like an intellectual understanding that I was lost and then I was found. I was destined for hell and then now I've been inherited into the kingdom of God. And all of that is true. But at its base, that word salvation, it means to be healed. Think of the medical term of like a salve. To be saved is to be healed. The relationship is healed. The wounds of the heart and the mind to be healed. Because salvation has arrived. And Isaac Watts, he really was jamming out on this stuff as he was like, oh man, that's good. That's good. And so then he continued as he read this passage, he has remembered his steadfast love and faithfulness to the house of Israel. All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Break forth into joyous song and sing praises. Sing praises to the Lord with a lyre. That doesn't mean he wants you to be a lyre, that it's an instrument. And with a lyre and the sound of melody, with trumpets and the sound of the horn, make a joyful noise before the King, the Lord. Let the sea roar and all that fills it, the world and all those who dwell in it. Let the rivers clap their hands. Didn't know they had those, but they do. Let the hills sing for joy together before the Lord, for he comes to judge the earth. He will judge the world with righteousness and the people with equity. Do you see what's happening? It's a song that is moving to crescendo. It's getting louder and louder. It's like, bring the string instruments up now. Now bring the brass. Now bring the rivers. Now bring the mountains. Like, it's like, get louder and louder because it's getting good. Because there is cause for joy. Because the broken things will not remain remain broken forever. Because evil will not win forever. See, this is actually forecasting a day when all the broken things would one day be made untrue, when the darkness would be eradicated and all that would be left is life and light and freedom. The ancient Jews knew this day as the day of Yahweh, the day of the Lord's arrival, where those who follow in his ways would no longer need to settle for the building up of our own personal kingdoms of happiness. Instead, that we would have an opportunity to collectively respond as inheritors of a new and better kingdom, a kingdom of lasting and ever expanding joy, where we are with God and where we are with the God who is God with us. And we're both glad to be there. Think of your favorite people to be around. That when you're with them, even when things are hard, there's just a connection there, a goodness. That's joy. And so when the psalmist was writing this, he was talking about a day when that relational joy would not be just filled in the hearts of individuals, but would be expanded throughout the entirety of the cosmos. This is the day into which Joy to the World was written. You see, this song, truth be told, is not actually a Christmas song. If you read the lyrics, there's nothing about the birth of Jesus in it. It was about this other day, what we would know now as the second arrival, the day when all the broken things would be made fully and completely untrue. And yet, I would personally argue that because it's not a Christmas song, is exactly why it's one of the best Christmas songs. Just listen to the lyrics. Watts is looking through the lens of Bethlehem to Jesus's return. He writes, joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive her king. Let every heart prepare him room in heaven and nature sing. Now, here's the thing. If you read the story of Jesus proclaimed in the gospel, you quickly find out that that's not exactly how every heart felt about him, right? There wasn't room for him in an inn, let alone in everyone's hearts. In fact, the religious and political elite, they were not super pleased with him. They were not about to say, oh, come on into my heart. This is exciting. We find out in the story of the Nativity even that this wicked King Herod plots and executes a plan to kill every infant boy in the region of Bethlehem out of a deep desire to stop this rumored king from taking his throne. And so this is hardly let every heart prepare him room. This is hardly seeing heaven and nature sing, right? So the song continues, no more let sins and sorrows grow, nor thorns infest the grounds. He comes to make his blessings flow far as the curse is found. Let's be real. That is not the world we inhabit, right? If you're paying attention to your daily life or the wider world around you, take a look at any of the major news networks or your social media account, and you will realize we do not live in a world that could be described as, and I quote, no more sin or sorrow grows, no more thorns infesting the ground, his blessings are flowing, and there is no curse to be found. Not exactly the world we inhabit, right? We live in a world where there is oppression, where there is disease, where there is brokenness of relationships. We live in a world of war and genocide, famine and pain. Now, is that all this world is? No, there's a lot of beauty here too. But those realities are not ones that we can just go, let's just sweep those under the rug and we'll call it good. That would be to settle. And yet herein lies the hope of Christmas, that in the dark of night, a light was born. He gave himself to break sin, to reverse the curse. See, nothing the darkness could try to do to snuff out his life would do until he would willfully lay down his own life on the cross. So on the cross, it is as if he allowed his light to be snuffed out. And his followers saw the smoke moving up to the heavens and were like, I thought that was the eternal flame. Imagine the disillusionment. But this is what he was willing to do so that the curse of sin and death could be broken over all of creation. Because you see, on the third day, he rose and the kingdom of joy broke into the world and his light would never be extinguished again. It's brighter. Cool. Well played, God. Okay. It's the rare candle that the first time you light it, okay. So the world is not yet the land of perpetual joy, and yet in this world, there is a light. Yet in this world, the light can no longer be extinguished. It's not like we're going to see what happens here. Like, I wonder if Satan's going to win this battle. I wonder if death and disease is ultimately going to encapsulate the world. I wonder. There's no more wondering. At least there doesn't have to be. And yet the world is not the land of perpetual joy. And yet in that, we all wrestle and we struggle and we can all grow disillusioned when life is hard, when our bodies aren't cooperating the way they should be. When we see those who claim to follow Jesus initiate pain and trauma on others. But the birth and the resurrection of Jesus tells a truer and better story. That sin and death and darkness do not get the last word anymore. That, as the song would continue, light has come and will come again. He rules the world with truth and grace and makes the nations prove the glories of his righteousness and wonders of his love. See, this is the kingdom of joy that you and I were created to experience. You were created for a better home than this one. You were created for a kingdom where truth and grace are the currency of the kingdom, where every day radiates the wonders of his love. A kingdom of never-ending, ever-expanding joy. And the story of the scriptures end with the beginning of the truest story ever told. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from the heavens from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard this loud voice from the throne saying, behold, the dwelling place of God is with man, Emmanuel. He will dwell with them and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away. Notice what it doesn't say. There shall be no more mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, because we're going to sweep all that under the rug as if it's an irrelevancy. Suck it up. That's not what it says. It says because the broken things have been made untrue. And he who is seated on the throne said, behold, I am making all things new. And also he said, write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true. In other words, it's already done. And so this is why we can sing Joy to the World tonight. Not just because tomorrow's Christmas and Christmas is beautiful and wonderful and gives you all the feels, but because God has made his home in us already in the person of Jesus. Because we have the first arrival of Jesus thousands of years ago in Bethlehem on that dark and scary night, that we can now live in hope for the second arrival of Jesus to come in the midst of our dark and scary world. We don't know the day, but we know the one who will initiate it. We will experience a cosmic joy where all of creation will be glad to be together with their creator. You were created for joy. But this is not just a not yet. There's also a now. And in the now, we, for those of us who follow Jesus, who surrender our hearts and our minds to him, can experience the kingdom of joy breaking through into this world now. For all those who've been reconciled to Jesus, we are adopted as sons and daughters into the forever family of God. And here's what that means. It means a lot of things, but here's one thing it means. We don't have to settle. We don't have to settle. Not because life is easy, but because Jesus is present. We are those who can, in fact, experience relational joy with the God of the universe, even through the midst of ultimate suffering here and now. Because we can know he is glad to be with us, and that we can be glad to be with him no matter what tomorrow brings, no matter what yesterday brought. Because when he looks at you, he sees you through the lens of his perfect son. See, you are proof and concept of the kingdom come. You are proof and concept of his will being done on earth as it is in heaven. So yes, while Joy to the World might not exactly be a Christmas song, it absolutely is. Because the light has come and it is here with us now. And it will come again to make all things new.